fantastic sharing, Ethel, and great account of your trip and what God done for you and also done for us, and really the generosity of the heart through the love of the believers and their practice of this administration of giving and receiving, is through their practice God has prospered them. And obviously, as they were encouraged, they received those words gladly. I think sometimes in the West, when we talk about it, people think you're after their money and you want more of them. But it's for your abundance. You're the one that's going to benefit first. And so as a man sows, what a man sows, that shall he also reap in that era of giving and receiving. And it says in Galatians, no, God is not mocked whatsoever a man sows. And it's in the context of giving, you're honoring God. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap, you know? So it's like, through their practice, they have seen the goodness of God. Some of them are living better than us financially than we are in the West. And like Ethel says, it's more like a third world country. If you think 1,000 Nepali rupees is about £8, and that's their top currency, 1,000 Nepali rupees. And the generosity was absolutely amazing. Even Anish that's on here now with us. I mean, the heart of service. We went to their fellowship. And it was like we had bodyguards everywhere I went. Someone was with me. Like, I felt very important. They made me feel important, like I was some kind of like pop star or something. I go to the toilet. Where are you going? What do you want? Okay, we'll take you. And they made sure that we were blessed. And Anish, man, this young man, he blessed, what a humble man towards God. And he wanted to hear me share. He wanted encouragement and he shared his desires. He's going to be a great, great, he's rising up to be a great, great leader in Nepal, like his dad and like his mum. And he really blesses the heart of me and his princess, his wife. Wonderful, beautiful, tender hearts. And it's just a humble heart to want to have the best from God and to live this wonderful life in service to God by serving the people. And they looked after her. I mean, they really took care. Anish, everywhere I turned, he was there. Hello, Lawrence, uncle, I come to see you. And he lives 45 minutes up in the mountains and he come on his bike with his wife and he just wanted to be with us, you know. And that really touched my heart. But there was a time, I'm going to get Carl Morton to share next. Get ready, Carl Morton. Because I believe, with all my heart, when I was in Nepal, do you know, I miss Carl Morton. Because Carl Morton has been on these trips to Nepal and he's been on these trips to India. And we had wonderful time. And Carl Morton is witness that when we went to India those initial years, we were the givers. We were the one giving abundant sharing. We were the one blessing. Even though we was being served on the spiritual level of what God was doing, the financial blessings were not like they are now. So when we come with a heart to give, a heart to sow. All of us come. And even when I went, I was taken care of by Heike and Carmel. They would make sure I didn't pay for anything. But that didn't mean to say I couldn't give still. And I did. So what I wasn't spending, I was giving to the believers. So, you know, and now God has turned it around and they've overtaken us. Because of the faithfulness of this sound way, and Sandgate hasn't deviated from what he's preaching and teaching, what God's working in his heart. And we cannot, if we want to move forward, go back to the weak and beggarly elements that only get you so far. We need to speak this truth, and we need to speak it boldly by the Holy Spirit as he's energizing us. And we need to encourage these things. So this really is for people that are really serious, this fellowship. They're not going to mess about. They're not being taken out every 5 minutes. But when they got a need, they go to God and then they go somewhere to be ministered to be encouraged. This is what it's about. It's not a condemnation trip. It's a direction for your needs to be met and for you to flourish and grow on every area. And so, like Ethel said, Jyoti and Suresh blessed us all with abundant sharing. I was surprised. I was like, wow, they've already paid for hotel rooms. And it's not about that, but it's just showing you the heart. And even Krishna sent some honoring God to me. I was surprised that someone come and gave me an envelope. Krishna, uncle wanted you to have this. And I was like, wow, what, me? Like, you know, really, I should be given to you, you know, and that was my heart. And I was just really, really, really blessed. But I practice the same way as the Indians and the Pals. I do my honoring God. I give outside of my honoring God. I bless people. I give extra here. If God shows me, I lend. If God shows me to lend, I take people for meals. If God shows me to do that. And I never go the loser. And so a lot of people were stingy. You know, God has not given us a stingy heart. When it's all about the focus is on us, that's when we become stingy. Oh, I can't afford to do this. But the point is, you cannot not afford to do it. So it's great that you brought these points up, Ethel, and I think we need to be bold speaking about it. Even if people drop off and don't want to come on the fellowship, this will always be spoken about. Sange always speaks about it. He always encourages people to do it. And we need to become generous in what we're doing, not from because I've said it, but from the grace of God of what he's doing in our lives. This is the generosity. We're so thankful that God has taken us out of darkness. He's given us truth. He's given us things that we can do to receive the spiritual blessings into manifestation in our life. He's given us Holy Spirit, number one. Now we can manifest it. We can speak this heavenly language. And we can give praise and glory to God. There's joy and rejoicing. It's not, Shara Kariyanda, oh, I've gone through such a hard time. Shara Kariyanda, 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 Kariyanda. No. It's like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. God doesn't want us to, you know, unless we speak with the love of God, you know, this speaking in tongues, then it's like a melody, a symphony in the heavens, in the ears of God and all the heavens, all the angels. It's like a symphony, and that symphony plays. If you think in heaven right now, all the angels are worshipping, glorifying God. There's a wonderful symphony going on. Satan, he was the highest angel in heaven at one time. But you know what? And he had all the, he was the best worship angel. Right, but proudness was found in his heart. And then that worship, there was something different about it. Because it come about him and not about worshiping the one true God. And God is seeking those that worship him in spirit and truth. Now, there's great benefits when we speak in tongues. This is foundational. If you want to see signs, miracles, wonders, if you want to move in the heavenly flow by the Holy Spirit, we got to speak in tongues much. It's for our blessing. Yeah, initially we might, you know, might start off and it might be a little struggle because we're going from the carnal to spiritual. But that spirit is willing. It's there. Sharabakariyanda. It's there. As soon as I want to open my mouth, it's there. The carnal's not so willing. It's weak. But that's why we got to be spiritually minded. And all these distractions that have gone on for the last 3 months for different people is to take your eyes off God. And to put your eyes on you. And then we become focused with ourselves rather than focus on God. And then what we do when we're in situations, when we're in problems, we magnify our problem. Oh, this is just not going to work out. I can't see how I'm going to do this. Nothing ever works for me. And we're thinking this. You may not be confessing it, but you're sat there thinking about it. And as it says in Proverbs, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. See, the most important thing is not about what you say on this Zoom fellowship. It's not what you say to the next door neighbor or to another believer when you're speaking with them. We can speak wonderfully. We've got the Spirit of God. It's when you're sat by yourself, what are you thinking? Are your thoughts pure? Are your thoughts towards God? Are you seeing yourself blessed and successful? And if you really want to see God go to work, we need to praise God. We need to really worship God in that spirit and truth. Not just with speaking in tongues, but we can do it in song and in praise. Because of all the great things that God has done in us. What did God do in Mary when she received that, the man child, the Christ within her? She conceived. She said, oh, my soul does magnify my God. She didn't say, oh no, what's Joseph going to say? She didn't magnify, you know, what other people are going to say about her condition. But she magnified God because she was now carrying the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, who's going to set the whole world free through his living sacrifice, right? Through his devotion to God. What did the angels do when it was announced? They rejoiced and they praised God. They magnified God through worship, through being thankful, having a gratitude heart, a heart full of gratitude, thankfulness. Sometimes we can look like just haven't got enough. Everything goes wrong for me. Why is it always me? Why am I not moving forward like the Indians and the Nepalis? Why am I not moving forward like this believer and that believer? And it's wrong focus. It really is. And then what we're doing, we're magnifying the five senses and what's going on in our life. God says, take your eyes off you for once. Put them on me and be thankful for where you are right now, what you have right now. I can multiply that. He's not multiplying anything when you're sat there sulking, thinking, I can't do this. I can't honor God. I can't speak in tongues. I've got too many problems going on. No. In Psalms, David said, let us magnify the Lord together and let his praise continue to be on our lips. In other words, we're saying what God says. We're talking about his wonderful testimonies, his wonderful deliverance, his loving kindness, his wonderful provision, how he's a God that sees in order to provide. Don't you think God can take care of your needs? What is your needs? God says, bring them to me. Come to me. Give me all your desires. Give me your anxiety. I can deliver you. Nothing's impossible with me. I can only go as far as you believe. I've given you words now to believe. I've given you the heavenly direction. I've told you, be still. Know that I am God. I told you, cast all your cares to me because I care for you. I told you, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto me. When we're griping and moaning and we're complaining, especially about ministers that teach this truth, about honoring God, about speaking in tongues, about staying connected, you go down pretty quick. It's not because God's bringing you down. It's because now you're saying the carnal words. Now you are giving the enemy access, which he doesn't have no right. You give your power away. When we think negative, we give our power away. And Satan is under our feet. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Do you believe that? Do you believe when you pray, God's going to take care of your needs? Do you believe when you honor God with your substance, he's going to multiply your seed sown? He's going to increase the fruits of your righteousness? He's going to cause all grace to abound towards you? Do you believe this? Anything we do has to be done with faith and expectancy that God will do what he says he's going to do when we do what he shows us to do, which is going to benefit our lives. He doesn't take away your free will choice. And we want to bring glory to God in our life through showing other people, listen, I was in need and I turned to God and he delivered me. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Now God can deliver you. God is not a respecter of persons of anyone on this fellowship. Me, he's not respecting me above you. He's not respecting you above me, whether you've been in the world 75,000 years. He's not respecting any of that stuff. What he respects daily, every day's a new day, is faith. Did you wake up today and believe God? Did you wake up today and thank God for your life and where you are now, regardless of anything that you've been through? Because God is with you. He favors you. He highly favors you. He's filled you with his spirit. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can do nothing wrong in his eyes. Now, are you going to let your emotions and your five sense thinking pull you out all the time? Now, we've got to get it in check. We're to control our thinking. We are to control the words that come out of our mouth. God says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life. Put a guard over your mouth. Then you can taste and see that the Lord is good, because when you start doing what he's showing, then he can go to work. If you've got things held up in your life, you need to do a checkup from the neck up. What you're thinking, what you're speaking, who you're listening to. And you'll get the truth here, because I'm not pussyfooting around. I want to give God's people the best, and I believe in God to give me the best so I can give the best. I'm not giving you my knowledge. I'm not giving you my understanding. I'm being led by the Spirit of God. And all of us can be led by the Spirit of God. You know, you're so clever with all your knowledge that you have, but where has it got you? Has it kept you on the settee? Who was saying about we need to get off the settee, Ethel? We need to stand up. Will the real you stand up? The real you is the Christ in you. And you get this boldness from God when you start to decide, when you decide that you're going to speak his words to God's people, and you're not going to worry about people talking behind your back. People say that you're doing it wrong. People saying you're in it for money. You're always going about abundance sharing. People say this. People say that. People will talk. If you want to join the little gossipers, then carry on. It's going to bring you down. It's going to keep you where you are. And God says, no, my children, come out from amongst them. Right? Come out from amongst them and move with me. I am with you. I am for you. I've called you to this day and time to be my light to the world. You are the light to the world. You've got to take this personally. Now, together we are the lights of the world, but individually you are the light. You are the Christ in this world where you are. That's how important you are. You need to see how important you are in the eyes of God. And when we start to agree with God of how important we are, not because we're anything, it's because God's made us something. He's given us spirit. We're giving him praise. We're recognizing the gift that God's given us. We got Christmas coming up. And people will be giving presents left, right, and center. Some will be really thankful for the little gifts they get. And I was in the shop today with Rebecca's partner, Jack. And we went out shopping. He said, I'll take you shopping, Laura. You know, I only have to get a few little bits and pieces. And there was we went into this jeweler's, jewelry shop. I was looking for earrings. And I didn't get none. So anyway, I was looking for earrings, right? And there was this young girl. She must have been about 16, 17, a little apprentice working in the shop. And I said, what are you desiring for Christmas? And some people come out of all these expensive things. And she goes, oh, I really would like to have my hair colored and my hair trimmed and maybe some strength. Very humble. I was like touched. Like she was so humble, you know? And when you see someone with humble heart, when I see someone with a humble heart and they have a need, I want to help them, right? Now, I didn't help them. I was just asking them, but it just showed me like the humility in her heart. She could say, I want a diamond watch. I want a Rolex. I want a jet plane. You know, I want to meet the stars. I want to go to concerts. I want to travel the world. No, she was very humble, you know, very like, just these simple things will do me. And that thankfulness will elevate her, right? And she's going to get blessed, that young girl. I told her that as well. So you're going to get really blessed. So the point is that, what do you really want to do? Now, we're moving into a new year, 2025, by the grace of God. And so, as you know, every year I say to God, what's the theme for the new year? Now, this year was abounding in hope, because God is our hope in our hopelessness. When we think we can't get helped, God is our help. When we think we can't get delivered, God is our deliverer, right? God is our deliverer. He's our father. He's not a child abuser. He's not neglecting you. Sometimes we feel left out, but it's because of where our faith is. Maybe we have an unthankful heart. Maybe we think we're deserving of these things. I could think right now, well, I should be getting all of these things. I'm being faithful. I'm doing all these things. I'm deserving of it. It's not in my righteousness. It's in his. I'm doing this because of what God done for me, and he's working these things in me. I stay thankful. Father, I thank you. I thank you. You've given me such a great life. God, I know people talk about me. I know people don't like me because I'm speaking your truth. But you know what, God? I'd rather have this relationship with you and nobody like me, but people get your truth. And people do get the truth. When it's challenging you, if what I say challenges you, it's a good thing, not a bad thing. Sometimes we can, people don't want to be confronted. Oh, that's not love. That's not grace. You've challenged me now. Not very nice that you pointed out the truth to me. I used to be like that many years ago, right? But sometimes we need to say the truth. We need to say what's going on with an individual for them to rise up. If I didn't love someone, then I wouldn't tell them what they need to do. I just let them carry on. Love is saying the truth, but speaking it in love with a view to encourage, a view to lift up. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, how to believe rightly. Reproof when not believing rightly. Correction back to believing rightly. That the man or woman of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good work. See, we are complete. We're ready to go. But it's the words that keep us in check. It's the heavenly words that keep us in check. And if you're struggling financially, you need to look at your finances. You need to look, number one, am I a good steward or of my finances? Am I putting the money to work for me? We're supposed to be stewards on many levels, right? And finances is a massive thing because we all need it. Everyone needs finances. I was talking to Jack today about this. Everyone needs finances. It's a need, but some people make it their master. That money rules them. That money gets them thinking different things. But when it's our servant, then we're looking to put it to work for us. We're looking to put it to work where we can multiply it and where it can be a blessing. God wants us to multiply. Like even in people, the seed of a man and woman coming together produces kids, right? And God says, go forth and multiply. God's about multiplication on every level. So when we put money to work for us, we're not wasting it. We're not spending it on unnecessary things. We're not consuming it for ourselves, you know. But we got God first in that. And then we take care of our needs, our bills. And then whatever's left over, you know, we can buy the things that we need for us. And pay different things or bless somebody else. God wants you to be blessed to be a blessing. When we went to Nepal, these guys were in a position, they were blessed to be a blessing. And it's nothing to do with the money. Their hearts for God, their magnifying of God in their life, they didn't magnify their problems. They gave testimony of the power of God. They were so humble and meek because of the generosity of God to them through their honoring God. God had made them all prosperous. You know, we went to a dinner one day, and I think it was like Japanese, the last meal we went to. And this lady come in, and I think she may have been a little bit lesser than in finances than other people. But she come in with these little envelopes. And she come to Sangha and Beatrice. She paid great respect to Sangha because he was the man that brought the truth to Nepal and India. So it wasn't her leader, but she gave him respect. And she showed it from her giving. She gave him a little envelope. A little envelope to Beatrice, a little envelope to Nozomi, with the garlands that she put on, a little scarf, a nice little scarf that she put around their neck. So humble. And then I was looking, I thought, oh, that's so great. Look at the great respect. But then she come to us. Little envelope to me, little scarf to Ethel, to Ted, to Shelley. And she put some rupees in there. What great heart. But she knows she's going to get blessed. She's showing honor, giving honor where honor's due. The scriptures talk about honor, and this is in the context of honoring God also, that some are worthy of double honor because of the service to the saints. Sangate's worthy of that double honor for a start, and he gets it, you know, because the people understand. Now, I don't know if they know that from the scriptures, but they're living it because they're being led by the Spirit of God. It's naturally, spiritually, naturally done. It's coming from a heart of love. It's coming from a heart of thankfulness, energized by the love of God. And so for all these acts of kindness, that's magnifying God because God's showing people this is how we really should be living. A lot of people are wrapped up in themselves, wrapped up in their problems. Get out of your problems. Go to God. Stop thinking of yourself. You know, I just feel inspired to say these things. If it's for you, it's for you. If it's not, then don't worry. Right? But at the end of the day, God says, listen, I've given you a life. I've given you Holy Spirit life that you can enjoy this life. You don't have to be pushed down with all the burdens, all the problems, all the worries, all the anxieties. I've given you a way. Are you using that way or are you trying to pick your own way because you stay in your problem? God is a God of deliverance. He doesn't just half deliver you. All right, we get your head out of the trap for now, but you carry on living with that trap around your leg. No, get rid of the trap. Paradigms. I put the paradigm sharings on my website. Go back and listen to them. I know a couple of people have thanked me for that because it's really helped them. Man, this have a heart of generosity, and it's generated by the Holy Spirit. It's generated by God. It's generated by these truths. Now, we might start off, all right, I'll start honoring God, and we might have different thoughts and ideas. But as you practice, as you do it from your heart, you start to see the generosity of God flow to you. And even if you've got no people or no one around you, God can get to you in abundance what you need, because he's the source of supply. And he has many avenues, billions of avenues. And I, you know, I'm just so blown away. Because again, just that generosity of heart, the humbleness. You know, Anish, he's on here now. It must be, what, very late in Nepal now. But his heart of love, he followed me. He wanted to make sure I was okay. He wanted to make sure I had everything. And his heart of love for me, he wasn't looking for anything. Just, he remembered me. That touched my heart, that he remembered me. That's powerful in itself. 10 years old, I think he was at 12. He remembered me and he sought me out. And I was like, wow. And then God gave me great words also, I think he has shared with you. God gave me great words for him and his wife. Because it's not about us anymore. We're born again. We're saved. We've got all this wonderful truth. It's about giving now. Stop focusing on yourself and your problems. You may have problems. You may have situations. But you've got an amazing God you can go to. And when you go to him, and when you give him your problems, you give him your burden, you say, Father, you take care of this. And wait. Be patient. Carry on doing what you know to do. The deliverance will come. That's on God. Your job is to go to God, is to look to God, to keep a thankful heart, to keep a joyful heart. And in Nepal, you know, these guys will tell you, these guys were up dancing, Sangate was up dancing, even got me up dancing, I can't dance. It was quite funny, actually. I felt a right fall. But again, that's because I was focused on me. Oh, I'm not very good. But when I got my mind off me, I started to enjoy it. I was like, yeah, let's get into this baby. Woohoo! And I was doing my little own version of dancing. And Nozomi was joining in, making them laugh. Having fun, guys. Listen, yeah, life is serious, but God wants us to have fun. Are you having fun? And if you're not, you're too serious about yourself. Because God knows where you are. And he can bless you and he can meet your needs. And really, like, I'm just going to be so straight on this Zoom fellowship because I want to serve God's people and give them the best. And I know I've been given the best. I've been given great examples. And this truth that we're seeing living in the Power Ninja is here now. This is now, happening now. The great outreach is happening now in UK, Europe and USA. It's happening now. We're not thinking it's in the future. It is now. And I give thanks to my God because he's faithful. Now, I'm going to read you a record about this, right? So I've given you the scriptures about magnifying God. This is a big subject over here. So this New Year's thing for 2025 is simply magnify God. I think through the year, you know, God was our hope and our hopelessness. But we see, I think a lot of people magnified their problems. And God doesn't want you to do that. He says, look, you cut me short. You cut me out of the picture when you're magnifying these problems. I know you got them. I need you to give them to me so I can go and do something for you. Because God is the one that's managing our lives. It's not us. When we relinquish our lives to him, he manages it for us. That's called grace. He takes care of what we need. Now, I'm going to read you. And this record, man, I was at a mini one-on-one with Becky. And so, like, she pursues. And it's great when people pursue. Because she's pulling out of me what I didn't even know I had there. Because of her desire to learn and to know and to grow. Same with Amber. Same with Danny. Same with other people that connect to me. And there's things that come out of my mouth that are from God that I never knew were there. Because it comes from God, right? But this record is a fantastic record. And I think you should write it down. And afterwards, I'm going to read it to you. Now, some of the names I might not pronounce right, okay, so it's in the Old Testament, but it's a fantastic record. And it's in 2 Chronicles 20, and it starts off like this. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others besides the Amorites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. So there's this wonderful man of God, Jehoshaphat, and these great armies come against him. Now, sometimes you might feel you've got great armies come against you spiritually, mentally, emotionally, maybe family members, maybe friends, maybe old friends, whatever. You might think people are rising up to come against you. It says, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea of this side of Syria, and behold, there be in Hazar de Tamar, which is Engedi, I think I pronounced them right. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. What do you do when the problems arise? What do you do when everything's coming against you? Where do you set your heart? I haven't got enough money to pay this bill. So you set your heart to your bank account, or do you set your heart to go to God? I got a problem with this person. Do you set your heart to go and seek someone else to help you to deal with this person, or do you set your heart to God? Jehoshaphat set his heart to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Listen, if you've got problems right now, ask God for the help. Ask God for the solutions. Ask God for the direction. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now, it wasn't just Jehoshaphat. He started to seek the Lord, and then he called for a fast, and everyone came to seek the Lord. They become like-minded, and they had to become like-minded because they were in trouble, right? And if they didn't, they'd have been taken out. And there's strength with counselors. There's strength with like-mindedness. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Aren't you God? God, I've got no finance. Aren't you God? God, I feel ill. God, aren't you God? He was reminding God of who he was, right? He was reminding God, God, aren't you God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathens? And in thine hands is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? He's reminding God of what God done and who he is. And he's magnifying God in the situation, not magnifying the problem. And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil come upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our afflictions, then thou wilt hear and help. You got God in Christ in you. When we stand before God, he's hearing and he will help. But you need to be humble. You need to know that he's going to deliver you. You need to know he's going to provide for you. You need to know he's going to make a way for you. And you need to praise God of who he really is. Remind him of, aren't you God that delivered me once, God? Aren't you God that provided for me the other time? Can't you do it again and again and again and again and again? And now, behold, the children of Ammon, now he's telling God the problem. He's casting all his cares to God, right? He's not being anxious, but he's giving everything to God. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade. So these people that come against Jehoshaphat right now, there was a time that Israel could have invaded them, but God wouldn't allow them to do it. And he's saying, you didn't allow us to invade them, right? And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. So Israel turned away, didn't touch them, because God said no. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit? O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. They're showing their vulnerability in this situation and that they needed God to step in. And they reminded of God of that. They obeyed God not to destroy them when they could have done. So he's reminded God of these things. Not that God needed reminded, right? But he reminded him. He said this before the great creator, our wonderful heavenly father. And we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. I don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. There's many times we don't know what to do. And that's why we need to look only to God. That's why we need to fix our eyes upon him. Right? Where am I? But our eyes are upon thee. Verse 13. And all Judah, all of them, stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. That really touches me. So their whole family stood before God. Because they knew they were a goners if they didn't turn to God. Then, upon Jezeel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mathaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. God put his spirit upon this man to speak for God. This man was God's voice in the earth at this point. Do you know you are God's voice in this earth? And if you're too focused on yourself, on your problems, how are you going to speak God's word? Because you'd be too focused on your problem. That's why we need to take our eyes off ourselves and off our circumstances and put them on God. And he said, hearken ye, this guy that had the spirit of God come upon him, and he spoke by God, and he said, hearken you, all Judah, and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. Who's speaking this? A man with the spirit of God upon him. You've got it within you. Be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Half of your battles on here that you may be facing right now is not your battle, it's God's. You need to relinquish it to God. You need to recognize his sovereignty. You need to recognize his might, his power. You need to recognize who you are in Christ and who you are now. Your sons of God, your daughters of God, the Most High God, direct access to God. The battle that you may be facing is not yours. It is not yours. It is God. Whatever you're going through now, whether it's health, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, financial, the battle is God's. You do what God shows you to do. That's what God wants you to do. Then he can go to work, right? Because you're believing him. These acts of faith by doing what God's shown you to do is showing God that you believe him. And he's going to reward you for taking action. We can't just sit here and think about it. We can't just have mental assent. We can't live in a loop. I covered all these things this year as God showed me, right? So we need to take this seriously, what I'm saying, as it wouldn't be said right now. Tomorrow. So now God gives instruction through this man of God, who has the spirit of God upon him. Tomorrow, go you down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Cis, and ye shall find them at the edge of the brook before the wilderness of Jerel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Listen, stop fighting in your battle. Give it to God. Set yourself. Stand you still and see the salvation of the Lord. I think I've mentioned that phrase in a few sharings. Okay? Set yourself. In other words, set your eyes on God. Stand still. Trust him and see the salvation, the wholeness of the Lord. And see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. God is with you. God is for you. God will be to you what you need him to be. Health, strength, finances, laborers, fellowships, open doors, outreach. He'll be to you what you need him to be. And all the desires in your heart right now is what God's put in there. He wants you to focus on those desires, not your own. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. They was magnifying God. They was praising him, recognizing that he's the strength, he's the power, he's the glory. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with loud voices on high. They magnify God, right? And they rose up early in the morning. They probably had to set an alarm clock for me if I was there. And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. Number one, we're to not just believe God, believe in a God, we're to believe God, that he's going to do for you. It says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. If you want to be established, believe the words that are being spoken. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. So believe God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. This is the will of God. Right? Who is his prophets? The ones with the Spirit of God, speaking by the Spirit of God, being energized by God. Right now you're being spoken to. You can receive these words as the words of Florence. It won't do you any good. Receive these as the words from God. You will be blessed. It will be effective in you. What I'm sharing will be effective in you. And when you speak by the Spirit of God, people better listen to you because it'll be effective in them. If not, it's going to be wasted. And we don't want to waste any words from God. We all magnify God, like, you know, scriptures and stuff like that. Well, that's God's words. We magnify that, but when someone's speaking by the Spirit, we won't magnify that. And what did they do here in the Old Testament? They spoke by the Spirit. And this is God's testimony. This is God's testimony. 2 Chronicles 20 is God's testimony of what was going on. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of his holiness. Wow, the beauty of God's holiness. What a verse of scripture. Where has it gone? As they went out before the armies, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and praise, they magnifying God through the singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of the Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made the end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. God turned these guys on each other. They killed each other. Jehoshaphat and the people had to do nothing. What did God say earlier on? The battle is mine. And sometimes we try to sort out the situation in our own strength because of what? Worries, fears, and doubts. Anxiety. When you're anxious about something, you want to get it resolved right away. But you just magnify the problem rather than magnify God in the problem. Have you ever had that where you're really anxious, something's gone on, you just want to get it sorted out right now? And it's really in you. You've got to get it to God. You got to say, God, I cease from my works. You take this anxiety from me. I give it to you. I come to you, the Most High God, the greatest of the heaven and the earth, whom nothing is impossible. And I praise you. I give you glory, Father, because you always take care of me. You always deliver me. Father, don't forget all the great things that you've done in my life and continue to do them so I can move for you, that I will be your voice piece. I will speak thy word for you. God will honor that. And he'll honor you, and he'll set you up on high. And when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoils of them, they found amongst them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies, precious jewels, which were stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days gathering the spoils. It was so much. God prospered them, even in that situation. Do you think they took tithes and offerings and everything to God from that? Because God gave them the victory? Yes, they did. They honored God with their substance. God wanted them to have the abundance. God wants you to have the abundance. But maybe we're being stingy. Maybe we're being carnal in this area. Maybe we need to wake ourselves up and ask God to enlighten our hearts on this. Just how important this really is. But the most important thing is that we magnify God, not the problem. God, we've seen God deliver us. We've seen God come through in every situation. God is faithful. I've been on this journey since I was 16. And God's always delivered me. God always made me the head and not the tail. He's always made me come up smelling of roses when I should have been dug underneath. My God is faithful. My God is the deliverer. And my God's the fighter. And he fights for me, even in this day and time. Because when people speak about me, they're speaking about God's kid that loves God and that wants to see the word move all over the world. And I'm going to see it by the grace of God, by the power of God. And I'm serious. No one's stopping me. Nothing's stopping me. My God is with me. And my God will always make me come up smelling of roses. So if you want to have a little mind, talk about little things. Or do you want to have a great mind and talk about our wonderful God? Magnify him in your life. And then you'll see great things happen for you. Praise him. Be thankful. Be grateful for what you got instead of complaining about what you haven't got. Thankful for what you got and let him multiply everything for you. Let's stop having the pity parties. We got an amazing God. We're not magnifying God when we're focused on ourselves and our problems. And we're not magnifying God when we think we got something better to say when somebody else is speaking. And when we're thinking our own things. We need to listen. God says now the time is to listen. Listen, receive these words. You'll become stronger. You'll become wiser. You'll become happy. You'll become free. And this is what God wants for every one of us. And I'm going to get it. I'm living it. And no one's going to take it away from me. The thing is, it's like, I'm not people dependent. I'm God dependent. And each one of us should be God dependent. And God will bring people together that are God dependent, so they're like-minded. God wants strength, not weakness. God wants good words coming out of his children's mouth. He wants his praise to be continually in our lips. He wants us to magnify him, not the situations. Because God created everything. And God is with us and for us. He's filled us with his spirit. He's given us sonship. He set you on high. You are the head and not the tail. Start believing it. Start saying it with faith. And just keep your eyes on God. Stop letting the enemy take you out. And then you have to get back up and walk again. You tell him to take a hike. He's got no jurisdiction, no authority. Satan, you flee right now. And, you know, I pray for everyone on this fellowship and anyone that connects to me. And I take authority in situations as God shows me when I'm praying, when I'm declaring, when I'm speaking. And someone needs to be doing that. Jesus Christ is the one that does that. He's the mediator between God and man. But we can also do it because we've got the same spirit. And we can make intercession for the saints through our speaking in tongues and through our prayer. So God wants you to be serious with him. But he wants you to enjoy what you're doing. There needs to be happiness and joy, not all this doom, blinking gloom. He wants you to enjoy this life. Enjoy the little that you have and he'll give you more. So that you can give it away. Like we see with Jyoti and Suresh. Like we see with the examples of the other leaders and believers in India and Nepal. And we done it once when we first went there, you know, and now they superseded it, which is great. So now I can rise up to that. And I'm very thankful to God for what he's doing. And that with my eyes, I've seen the glory of the Lord. I've seen the power of God. I've seen the deliverance, the healings. I've heard, seen, taste and touch and doing. And so next year is going to be a fantastic, amazing year. Growth is going to happen. And it's not because of any of us, it's because God is going to make that happen, and he'll make it happen for those that are receiving this truth in love. So anyway.